our second case today, called 088P1385, Volvo Trucks North America versus Volvo Truck Center, Inc., arguing on behalf of Volvo Trucks North America is Mr. Donnelly, Attorney Donnelly of Texas, introduced by Attorney Tomaselli of Madison.
Thank you, Your Honor. Pursuant to the court's order, I'd like to present to the court Mr. Donnelly to argue on behalf of Volvo.
Thank you, Mr. Tomaselli. Mr. Donnelly, you may proceed. Mr. Donnelly, are you a member of the Texas Bar?
I am, Your Honor.
In good standing?
I am a member in good standing, Your Honor.
We're delighted to welcome you to Madison. This is a very unusual climate for this type of year.
That's what I hear, Your Honor.
So I think it's probably to give you the benefit of winter.
Thank you very much.
So I have to also tell you, you probably won't get out for at least a week.
Understand. I'll enjoy my time here.
Yes.
I think Mr. Thomas Kelly said I could stay at his house.
That's too bad, because we have a lot of hotel space, and it would be very good. Feel free to encourage our economy. So with those kind words, we will now give you the usual cold Wisconsin treatment of the court. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor, and thank
before you
for
do,
that.
Before you do, Counselor,
yes.
Before you do, Mr. Tomaselli, would you change the way you have those cards, if you could put them horizontal? I don't think you can see very well behind them.
Well, maybe they're not ready
That's
for
fine.
Us to see
That's
them
fine.
At the moment.
Well, I'm concerned about the people in the back that can't see over them, and I saw someone was having difficulty, so please go ahead then.
Thank you. And before I begin my argument, each member of the court should have a notebook with each of the blow-ups in it in 8.5 by 11 form.
Well, the notebook will be distributed.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Norman, have you seen the notebook? Do you have any objection? The notebook is being distributed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May I proceed?
You may.
Thank you very much. This is an appeal of a State of Wisconsin Division of Hearing and Appeals decision in a motor vehicle cancellation case arising under Wisconsin Statute 218.0116(1)(i). This appeal centers on the meaning of the word cure, literally on the meaning of that one word cure found in that statute. The meaning of the word cure is an issue of first impression. That is, that the meaning of that word in this statute has never been decided before by this court, any other court, or the division in this case. I know each member of the court has read the briefs, so I won't say much about the parties other than to say that Wausau Truck Center was a Volvo dealer for many years before becoming owned by an entity named JX Enterprises. Upon becoming owned by JX Enterprises, Wausau Truck Center, formerly only a Volvo truck dealer, also acquired a Peterbilt dealership, a full-line Peterbilt dealership, meaning it could sell Peterbilt trucks, service Peterbilt trucks, and also sell Peterbilt parts. Volvo Heavy Trucks is a heavy truck manufacturer. And one thing that's important to understand about Volvo Trucks is that as a heavy truck manufacturer, it is not a dealer. Instead, it relies upon a nationwide network of dealerships that are independent businesses in order to distribute and sell its products to end-user customers. Without that dealership network of independent businesses, Volvo does not have a way to sell its trucks. So those independent dealerships are very important to Volvo. If those dealerships are not doing their job in selling trucks, that means Volvo is not selling trucks as well. Why did Volvo seek to terminate Wausau Truck Center, the dealership at issue in this case? Very simply, Volvo sought to terminate and cancel its dealership agreement with Wausau Truck Center because of a plan that Wausau titled its Volvo Elimination Plan. And I can tell you that is a one-of-a-kind plan. I cannot find another case anywhere in the country where a dealership created an elimination plan regarding one of its dealerships and then acted under that plan. The plan was so bad that the division below found the following, and I quote, that the elements of the Volvo Elimination Plan are, quote, inimical to the relationship between a motor vehicle manufacturer and one of its dealers. That's a very strong statement. With that, what does Volvo have to prove in order to be able to cancel its dealership agreement with Wausau Truck Center? It's two things in the statute Volvo had to prove: due regard for the equities and just provocation. Due regard for the equities is defined in the statute, and simply, it means enforcing the dealer agreement in a fair and equitable manner and in a manner that does not discriminate. Volvo clearly got over that hurdle without any problem with regard to the elements of the Volvo elimination plan. The division found Volvo did prove that. The second thing that Volvo had to prove is just provocation. Just provocation has several components to it, and it's where we'll find the problem in this case and where the issues arise.
Is there a question whether your termination or notice of termination was proper, or either by procedurally or substantively?
There were no issues regarding the notice of termination in the case.
Is there any issue regarding the fact that you had a right to terminate? What I'm trying to get at is, suppose you decided to terminate and it was fair and equitable and there was just provocation, do you still have to give time to cure?
Cure is part of just provocation. So in order to be able to cancel the dealer agreement, as part of just provocation, Volvo had to prove a couple of things. One, that there was a material breach of reasonable and necessary provisions of the dealer agreement due to matters within the dealer's control.
Is there any question about that?
There is absolutely no question about that. Okay. The division below had no problem finding that with regard to the elements of the Volvo elimination plan. But then here, this gets to your question, Your Honor. The second part of just provocation is whether the breach is cured within a reasonable time after notice of the breach.
So is that's what the fuss is about?
That's what the fuss is about, Your Honor. And it's, what does cure mean? How should cure be defined?
That is a question of law fact.
That is a question of law. It's an interpretation of the statute. And this court has said over and over again that that is one of its major responsibilities, is to interpret statutes as a matter of law. And the court has done that over and over again.
After the interpretation is done and the facts are found, is the application of the law to the fact, the interpretation of the facts, a question of fact or law?
In this case, it will be a question of law for this reason. The facts are absolutely undisputed. I am not here today, Volvo is not here today, to dispute the facts. And in this court's case, County of Dane versus LIRC, the court stated that the construction of a statute and its application to undisputed facts are questions of law.
Okay.
And that's what we have here. We've got, what is the question of, the first question of law is, what does cure mean? And then the second question of law is, how do the undisputed facts apply to that proper definition of cure?
All right. So what kind of deference are we going to give the division?
Your Honor, in this case, Volvo argues that you should not give the agency, the division, any deference for this reason. These are issues of first impression. The definition of cure has never been tackled by the division before. And based on this court's holdings in Racine Harley-Davidson, it would seem then appropriate to provide the agency's interpretation of the statute with no deference. Now, Wausau argues that there should be due deference provided. We don't believe so. Wausau argues due deference because the agency is in charge with enforcing the statute. That much is true. However, it is an issue of first impression. But let me kind of get down to the bottom line on this.
What difference does it make if we give due deference or no deference?
You're reading my mind, Your Honor. I was fixing to state that it would make absolutely no difference because the agency blew it on the definition of cure. And so if you provide no deference, the court will decide what is the definition of cure, and that's what will be applied to the case. With due deference, the court would give some deference to what the agency found to be cure or what cure meant. But if the court decides that their definition of cure, that your definition of cure is more reasonable, then you would apply your definition of cure in this case. I think under either, you will find that you've got the better definition of cure.
And then it doesn't matter whether it's due or none.
I don't think so, Your Honor. I think at the end of the day, it won't make any difference in the outcome of this case.
That's what Racine Harley says anyway.
And that's what I was exactly going to say. It's similar to what happened in Racine Harley-Davidson. At the end of the day, it didn't make any difference whether it was de novo review or whether it was due deference that was granted to what the agency said below.
Okay, so what's the most reasonable interpretation?
The most reasonable interpretation of cure, Your Honor, would be the following. And let me back up just one step before I directly answer your question. This court has said in the Rouse case that when given a statute its plain and ordinary meaning, courts refer to dictionaries to define those terms not defined by the legislature. And indeed, on at least one term, that's what the division below did. The term unconscionable in another part of the statute was not defined, and they turned to the dictionary. The division didn't do that for cure. The common meaning of cure, as defined in Webster's International Dictionary, is to remedy, restore, remove, or rectify. What the term refers to is restoration of the way things were before the default.
Counsel, the next sentence in the Rouse case goes on to state that all words and phrases shall be construed according to the common and approved usage. That's right. Yes. The technical words and phrases and others that have a peculiar meaning in the law shall be construed according to such meaning.
It does, Your Honor. Agreed. Mm-hmm. But what, if Your Honor's asked me about that technical meaning of cure, I believe it's clear from the statute that the legislature didn't mean anything different from for the word cure other than its plain and ordinary meaning. Had it meant something different, something more technical, like it did for due regard for the equities and for just provocation, it would have provided that more specific, that more technical meaning.
If I would say to an aunt of mine that one company has to cure the defect.
Yes.
I'm not sure that, what's the meaning of cure? Isn't that a kind of a legal word? Should say, Ann, you know, talk like we do.
Well, I understand, Your Honor, but I think even in that example, any other person, even not a lawyer, would understand it to mean you've got to take care of the problem. You've got to fix the problem. You've got to remedy the issue. And that's what cure means. And in fact, Wausau doesn't struggle with the definition of cure that Volvo has put forward here, and in fact on page 38 of its brief, it states that the plain meaning of the term cure is to cease the behavior that constitutes the breach. That makes perfect sense. If cure doesn't mean that, then what would it mean in the context of this statute? Because you recall where I started out is that Volvo had to prove a number of things. Volvo had to prove that its contract was reasonable. It had to prove that it was not being discriminatory in enforcing these provisions against Wausau Truck Center. It also had to prove that there was a material breach.
Mr. Dolly, it may be helpful, at least to me it would, to bring to the fore the pertinent parts of the difference of opinion between the parties. I mean, I certainly take from the briefs that Volvo advances a particular definition of cure along the lines of restoration to the status quo ante, whereas opposing counsel will probably argue for what the trial court tacitly adopted from the department, remedy or remediation of the material points of breach. What is it exactly? What are the points that Volvo is alleging that Wausau Truck Center has not done and so therefore has not done everything to restore the status quo ante?
If I may take the microphone and grab one of the boards, may I do that? This should be the first document in the notebook that you have. And it goes exactly to the question that you have posed.
These are the facts that we're looking at.
These are the facts. These are the undisputed facts. I'm not dealing with anything here today that is disputed.
Can we look at the facts before we finish your answer to what cure means?
One more time, Your Honor, please.
Should we look at the facts before we complete your answer to what cure means?
I don't think so, Your Honor, because they're so tied together.
Okay.
It really all fits together when you get to the end of it.
All right.
When you're looking at the left side of this chart, what was placed on here is before the Volvo Elimination Plan, how was Wausau Truck Center operating before the Volvo Elimination Plan was prepared and implemented? And before the Volvo Elimination Plan, there was no Volvo moratorium. And as you'll recall, the Volvo moratorium was Wausau Truck Center's efforts to take every Volvo truck customer and try to get those Volvo truck customers to buy Peterbilt trucks instead of Volvo trucks. I didn't create the term Volvo moratorium. That's Wausau's term, Volvo moratorium. So before the Volvo Elimination Plan, no Volvo moratorium. The second thing that did not exist prior to the Volvo Elimination Plan was that there was no Volvo Elimination Plan name for the dealership. Before the Volvo Elimination Plan, Wausau Truck Center had been known for years as Wausau Truck Center. All the Volvo customers recognized Wausau as Wausau Truck Center. Once the Volvo Elimination Plan came along, the name changed. It was changed to Wausau Truck Center, DBA Peterbilt, Wisconsin, Wausau. That was an intentional act that Wausau took, and they meant to take it, and it is clear and undisputed that that was part of this Volvo elimination plan.
Well, let's put it positively. Before the Volvo elimination plan, one, they sold Volvo trucks.
Correct, Your Honor.
Two, they sold Volvo trucks. They sold it under one business name or another business name. You're not objecting to the business name. They had a right to change it, didn't they?
Your Honor, we do object. Volvo does object to the business name for this reason, and that the change of the business name was part of, it was one of the elements of the plan that the division found to be.
Suppose they didn't have the plan and they changed the name.
It might be different, because then they don't have some plan that's designed to do harm to Volvo.
Indicia of the plan. Okay.
But you have to understand that the name change here was part of the Volvo elimination plan.
But before the Volvo elimination plan, they sold Volvo trucks. That's what's the condition.
That's okay. Correct. They did, John. And then getting to the center of the chart, the Volvo elimination plan was put into place around the end of 2001. With the Volvo elimination plan, there was then the Volvo moratorium, where they did their best to swap every Volvo customer over to a Peterbilt customer. But to get to your point, Your Honor, I would also point out that during the period where even they will claim the Volvo elimination plan was in place, they were still selling Volvo trucks. They still had the Volvo name on their dealership. They still had the Volvo name on their door. They continued selling Volvo trucks, but their efforts were, if you wanted a Volvo truck, what they tried to do is actually get you to buy a Peterbilt truck.
But didn't they reduce the number of trucks they sold?
Did they, I'm sorry?
Reduce the number of trucks they sold?
The number of trucks they sold went very low. It had been up in the hundreds at some points in years before, and after the Volvo elimination plan went into place, it got down to single digits. The sales were very much plummeted.
Okay.
And then with the Volvo elimination plan, the other element, and it's the other element that the division found to be inimical to the relationship between Volvo and Wausau, was the change to the Volvo elimination plan name of Wausau Truck Center, DVA Peterbilt, Wisconsin, Wausau. And the reason why all these things occurred, one of the vice presidents of JXC, the entity that owns Wausau, he told us what it was all about. Wausau had decided that its future as a dealer, and Wausau, Wisconsin, was as a standalone Peterbilt dealership. So they were trying to figure out, what do you do with Volvo? And the idea was, well, the first thing we're going to do is try to swap all the Volvo business over to Peterbilt.
If
we transfer whatever we do, at least we've taken all that Volvo business and we've captured it as Peterbilt business.
How does the sale or the projected sale of a Volvo dealership play here? I don't see it.
I agree with you. It makes no difference if they entered into this plan for purposes of trying to sell the dealership, for only purposes of trying to destroy the dealership, or any other purpose. It makes no difference. And it made no difference to the division below either. The division below found that these elements that I've listed for the Volvo elimination plan, each of them, that those elements were inimical to the relationship. So it made no difference what the purpose was, because I think we would all agree, normally when you're wanting to sell something, you're not trying to destroy its value. You're trying to polish it up and make it look better so you get more value.
Well, it seems to me JXC thought they were going to get rid of Volvo. Of course, they just wanted to steer there. At that point, it seems to me the record is pretty clear that at that point they wanted to keep their customer base but steer the customers towards Peterbilt. And they testified to that, and that's pretty clear. I think what I'm trying to get at are the specific points of contention. And I understand it ties in with your definition of cure, and you can, you know, discuss that as the points arise, obviously.
Yes.
But what is it, in a nutshell, what is it Volvo is saying WTC has not done that keeps it in breach?
And here's where I get to the last column on the chart. When you look at the decision below, the division did not find cure. They said they ultimately found cure, but what they found was, or what they required, was simply a recommitment. You can look throughout the decision and they say, Wausau recommitted this way. Volvo doesn't understand how Wausau recommitted. It's always about a recommitment.
Wasn't that a subsection, though? Wasn't that a subpart of their discussion of the remediation of the material breaches? And saying, look, they didn't accomplish everything in particular, and there was a postcard sent out. But as far as remediation of the material breaches, that's why I'm trying to get at the particular point.
I understand, Your Honor. And in this last column, let me talk about what the line is between these two last columns. It's December 31, 2003. That's the end of the cure period that the division found. And where the parties differ here is, what does it mean by these items that occurred after the cure period ended? That really is where we have a substantial difference. Wausau is comfortable saying, look, we made a brief commitment. Volvo argues that's not what cure means. And when you get to this last column and you look what was occurring after the cure period ended, you find that the Volvo moratorium that was part of the Volvo elimination plan remained in place. It continued. There was a Volvo truck customer, and there's no dispute, it was a Volvo truck customer called Road Ready. In October of 2004, 10 months after the cure period ended, Sam Stevenson, the general manager for Wausau, went out to visit Road Ready, and he made what he called a, quote, Peterbilt blitz. He's trying to sell that Volvo truck customer a Peterbilt truck, just like they did when the Volvo elimination plan was clearly in place. And the reason why Road Ready is so significant is they've testified, Wausau testified, that during the Volvo moratorium, one of the customers they targeted to swap to Peterbilt was Road Ready. That didn't end after the cure period. They were back out seeing Road Ready after the cure period ended in October of 2004, once again trying to sell Road Ready a Volvo customer Peterbilt trucks. That's the Volvo moratorium. And I can understand if some members of the court was wondering, well, but that's only one customer. In the heavy truck industry, one customer is very important. In cars and light trucks, you may sell millions of units a year. We've all heard it's 9, 10, 11, 12, 15 million units. In heavy trucks, the whole industry doesn't sell much more than 100,000 units. So every truck sale, every customer is critical. So when you're talking about even one where they're out trying to flip them to Peterbilt after the cure period, they clearly did not cure. The second thing that I have listed after the cure period is that they continued to use the Volvo elimination plan for Volvo business after the cure period ended. I've got a whole list of things. There are 14, I believe, in the brief that I listed. They're very substantial in this regard. The first two I list are their actual official names they have on file with the state of Wisconsin, with the Department of Transportation. They had filed the Wausau Truck Center, DBA Peterbilt, Wisconsin, Wausau, with the Department of Transportation. All the way up to the time of trial in July of 2005, that had not changed. That official name remained on file with the state. They also filed with the state to ask the state to change their salesman licenses from Wausau Truck Center to Wausau Truck Center, DBA, Peterbilt, Wisconsin, Wausau. So every official name they had on file with the state was the...
That's not a violation. You and I established that.
But it's
your
not,
franchise.
But it's not a question of... It is. I think it is a violation of the franchise because they're not aggressively pursuing the sale of Volvo products as they're required to do under the dealer agreement if they're conducting their business.
But you don't have the sole franchise. I mean, they can sell builds of trucks.
They can, Your Honor. But to get directly to your point, you have to recall that the change to the Volvo Elimination Plan name was part of and is an element of the Volvo Elimination Plan. And so to restore things back to the way they were prior to the
That's why I asked you, don't you have to define what cure means? Your definition of cure is 100%. 100%. Therefore, the name's important. But if you don't define cure to being 100% the way it was before, the name becomes unimportant.
But I think it is 100%, Your Honor. And what's most interesting about these points I make, even if you think in some cases it may not be 100%, the reason why here it should be 100% is that each of the items listed in Volvo's brief, each of them that we complain about, were strictly and solely in the control of Wausau Truck Center. If they wished to change any of these things that have occurred after the cure period, had they wished to have changed them, they could have done it in a heartbeat. It was simply changing the name on fax transmittal sheets, on letterheads, on purchase contracts, on security agreements, on security addendums, on federal excise tax forms, the footer on emails, all of those things, they could have changed in a heartbeat had they cured the cure. It would be different if they couldn't have gotten it done. But in this case, Your Honor, clearly they could have gotten it done by the cure period.
What did they cure?
What
Anything,
did they cure?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what's missing in your chart.
Yeah, what did they cure? The thing that they didn't cure is what was found to be the material breach. That's the problem here in this case. Now, Wausau will get up, and it is argued in its brief, well, but we started attending meetings. We started training our personnel again. We put Volvo's name on business cards and all of those things. All of those things are undisputed, but here's the problem. What we're dealing with is the Volvo elimination plan. That's what the division found to be the material breach. That's the Volvo moratorium and the Volvo plan name. Those things didn't change after the cure period. So with those things continuing, then they could not have cured as a matter of law.
Was there a finding that, other than in the Road Ready, that they were pumping Peterbilt instead of Volvo?
Road Ready was the only one we found here.
Okay.
Now, the other problem that exists here, though, and the other question of law that is in this case, is another finding that the court, that the division below used to find this recommitment. And when you look at what they found, they found a recommitment, not cure. And in finding that recommitment, the division found that during the appropriate period of time, Wausau Truck Center was attempting to hire a Volvo sales representative. Here's the problem with that. When Volvo sent out its notice of breach, Wausau responded back, and one of the things Wausau said it would do to cure was it would hire a Volvo sales representative. However, at the trial of this case, Wausau Truck Center's general manager testified that once we received the notice of breach from Volvo, we stopped with, you know, plans of adding another Volvo salesman at that time. They stopped. How can the division find they cured by attempting to hire a Volvo sales representative when the general manager testifies we stopped with any effort to hire a sales representative?
That makes good business sense. Why would you start hiring somebody when you might find out that you're going to win? Volvo is going to win, and then you're stuck with an employee. You've spent expenses. I gather the trucking business is not in better shape than the auto business.
It's not necessarily in better shape. This case was occurring back in 2003, 2004, Your Honor, not present day.
I understand that.
But a couple of things. First of all, the idea
of cutting expenses is good business practice.
Well, except for this, Your Honor, the statute requires the dealer to cure its material breaches. So once they're found a material breach, which the division clearly found, then they must do whatever they must do to cure it. That's how they get protection under the statute, is to go forward and to cure.
They have a sales manager for Volvo before?
They did not, Your Honor.
They didn't. So that it doesn't fit within your definition of cure.
Well, there's two things to this, Your Honor. The other thing is, though, and it's a problem for the division below, and it's the reason why I think this court has to reverse this decision, is that the division below found, in order to recommit, that Wausau had done exactly this. This is part of their findings. This is not something Volvo says they had to do. What Volvo is arguing, the division below erred because the division found that they were attempting to hire a Volvo sales representative. And if I could grab the last board I have here.
That's fact or law, counsel?
Which, Your Honor? I'm sorry.
Attempt to hire Volvo sales representative.
Is it a fact or a law? That is incorrect as a matter of fact because they stopped at the...
So it's a finding of fact that is not substantiated by the record.
There's no, in fact, the evidence is actually...
Okay.
And the reason why, if what you're getting at, Your Honor, so therefore you're arguing substantial evidence, I'm not. My proposition is this, is that because the division got the definition of cure wrong, then they applied the facts to the wrong definition. If you're looking for a simple recommitment, all of this stuff about attempting to hire a Volvo sales representative may be enough. I don't know. But that's not the standard in this case. They didn't have to recommit. What they had to do in this case is that they had to cure. And indeed, it was 8 months after the cure period ended, in August of 2004, before they took any efforts to hire a Volvo sales representative after the time they received the notice. And what's so important about this email that I've had blown up, and it's the last page that you have in your notebook, is that it's from the dealer principal, the gentleman that's actually in charge of the dealership. And he says 8 months after the cure period that he tells his employees, please hurry and go hire a Volvo sales representative because, quote, this is critical for our success in January. So he wasn't saying go do this to cure. He was saying it was critical for our success in January. In January, what he was talking about is that this case was first set for trial in January of 2005. And so instead of seeking to hire a Volvo sales representative or attempting to do that in order to cure, he was doing it because he thought it was critical for the success of the trial so that he could impress the administrative law judge for trying to hire somebody. The problem with all of this is that it occurred 8 months after the cure period ended. And anything that occurred after the cure period ended, no matter how you define cure, cannot be part of the cure activities as a matter of law.
And I know the red light is on, but I'm going to ask this. Is there anything in the record to indicate why it is? Now, Mr. Jorgensen originally wanted to sell the Volvo dealership, but he couldn't get enough money for it. And so it was a business decision, but then it was a business decision, it seems to me, to retain it. What would be, is there anything in the record to indicate what the motive would be for him not to have his salespeople put best efforts once he realizes he's going to keep Volvo?
Yes, sir.
I question mark. I know I said it as a statement, but
I think the evidence in the record, I believe, supports this proposition that answers the question. JX Enterprises is a Peterbilt truck dealer. They have 7 or 8 other locations in Wisconsin and in surrounding states. Wausau Truck Center is their only Volvo dealership. So the whole idea was to turn Wausau Truck Center into a Peterbilt dealership. And by holding on and doing things to the Volvo dealership, they then could destroy that dealership. So two things. If they did sell it, whoever bought the dealership would not be an effective competitor against Wausau Truck Center's Peterbilt dealership. If Volvo was successful in canceling the dealership, exactly the same issue. It's going to be hard for someone to go back in and reconstruct that Volvo business. And the one thing you have to understand about all of this, in the 11 counties that Wausau has control of in Wisconsin, it is the only dealer in those 11 counties. No other company can come in and put a dealership in those 11 counties. So it's an awful lot of control for anyone to have. And indeed, when you look at the pros and cons statement that was created by the same gentleman that created the Volvo Elimination Plan, he said they thought they could carry out the Volvo Elimination Plan of trying to destroy this Volvo dealership because, quote, Wisconsin law protects us. I don't think Wisconsin law goes that far. I don't think it protects them, and the division agreed with us on that by finding a material breach. At the end of the day, the issue here is whether or not they cured. And the common and ordinary meaning of the word cure is to restore things to the way they were. And you can tell based upon the charts that we've gone through that they did not restore things to the way they were.
Counselor, is it your position that their efforts at cure were just an artifice or ineffective?
They were an artifice, Your Honor, would be my position. And it was all based on the idea that their future, that Wausau Truck Center's, quote, future was as a standalone Peterbilt dealership. That was their statement. That was their quote. That's what they were after. And that's why some of these things, and actually the two main elements of the Volvo Elimination Plan were never cured. And these are the same elements that the division found to be inimical to the relationship between these two parties.
But could I ask, JXE also sold Ottawa trucks?
Ottawa trucks.
Is that completely different from Peterbilt?
It is, Your Honor, and it's a very, very small part of their business. It's a very, very specialized truck. Not very significant at all for him.
Would Ottawa, in effect, have the same complaint as Volvo?
No, Your Honor, for this reason. My understanding is that that's a very good question. I'm glad you asked that to clarify that. My understanding is that Ottawa trucks would not compete against Peterbilt trucks. Ottawa trucks are not these over-the-road 18-wheelers you see, the dump trucks, the cement trucks. Ottawas are these little trucks that get used on parking lots simply to pull trailers around. That's it. You don't use a Peterbilt or a Volvo for that. And you have to understand in the context of this case that Volvo and Peterbilt are head-to-head competitors in the heavy truck business. So there's a clear difference between Ottawa and Volvo and Ottawa and Peterbilt. Any other questions? I know my time is up.
Thank you, and you have 5 minutes in rebuttal.
Thanks,
Mr. Donnelly.
But could I ask
Go ahead, Ms. Justice Bronson.
In terms of Volvo and dealerships, franchises out here, how common is it that Volvo and Peterbilt or another direct competitor would be sold by the same franchise?
I don't know the exact numbers, Your Honor, but I do know it does occur, as it does with other makes as well. But I can also tell you this because there's evidence in the record of it. There is no other dealership that had this operation where they would sell Volvo and also some other brand where that dealer also had a Volvo elimination plan. It was the fact of the Volvo elimination plan that helped Volvo get over the hurdle that it was not being discriminatory in how it was attempting to enforce its contract against Wausau Truck Center. So although other dealerships may be what's called dual, they have a dual dealership, more than one brand under their roof, no other dealer had anything that would be similar to the Volvo elimination plan in place.
Do they use Peterbilt or another company in their title?
Your Honor, I don't know the answer to that question standing here. And
all
I don't
right.
know anything in the record.
Might they push one truck over another because they made a larger profit?
They could not do that to Volvo and not violate the Volvo Sales and Service Agreement, which requires dealers to aggressively pursue the sale of Volvo products. For the very reason And you have to appreciate this, that Volvo is not a dealer. Volvo Trucks is only a manufacturer. It's not a dealer, so it relies on these independent dealers to be out there, quote, aggressively pursuing the sale of its products.
What about Peterbilt? Is it a dealer?
I don't believe, as far as I know, Your Honor, Peterbilt, which is actually owned by a company named PACCAR, is not a dealer either. Most state laws actually do not allow a manufacturer to also be a dealer.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Attorney Paul Newman, representing Warsaw Truck Center, Inc.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Paul Norman, and I represent the interested party respondent in this matter, Warsaw Truck Center, Inc. I'd like to begin by addressing the issue of how did the division construe and apply the element of fear under the dealer statute in this case. It did not expressly define cure in the decision. We all agree to that. However, the division's application of the term is evident in its statement of its conclusions of law. And I refer the court to Appellant's Appendix 62, which is the second last page of the division's final decision. And under conclusion of the law in the first paragraph, the division stated, and I quote, just provocation requires that the dealer engaged in conduct that is a material breach of the dealer agreement, and the dealer continues to engage in the conduct after receiving written notice of the breach and a reasonable opportunity to cure the breach. This language in the division's conclusion of law makes evident the division's construction of cure as requiring that a dealer stop whatever acts or omissions that are causing the breach within the cure period in order to avoid a finding of just provocation. Volvo contends, and Mr. Donnelly repeated the argument during his presentation, that the division construed cure to require only that the dealer recommit to the manufacturer and its products. To the extent Volvo is contending that the division's construction would allow a dealer to cure a material breach while still engaging in the conduct that constituted the breach, this contention is flatly refuted by the division's conclusion of law that just provocation exists where the dealer continues to engage in the conduct causing the breach after receiving written notice and an opportunity to cure. Now, do we have a dispute between the division's construction and Volvo's construction? And based on Mr. Donnelly's argument, we do not. Mr. Donnelly, in his argument, said that Volvo's preferred definition of cure means to stop the conduct and to begin substantial performance, which is what the division says in defining what a just provocation is. This is also set forth in Volvo's briefs. And Volvo has not said what a dealer must do beyond stopping the conduct that causes a material breach in order to cure under its definition of cure. So it comes down to Volvo's quarrel in this case is not with the division's, not over whether curing the breach requires more than stopping the conduct and returning to substantial performance. Its quarrel is with the division's finding that Wausau did, in fact, stop the conduct that caused the material breach. The evidence is disputed on this point, and the dispute is not just between Wausau Truck and Volvo, it is between the division and Volvo, because on the second page of the division's decision, which is at Appellant's Appendix 13, in the last sentence, the division states, the evidence of record supports the finding in the proposed decision that the most egregious elements of the Volvo elimination plan were abandoned prior to the issuance of the notice of breach, and except for a few minor examples relating to the change in the operating name of the dealership from Wausau Truck Center to Peterbilt of Wisconsin, Wausau, the remaining components of the Volvo elimination plan were abandoned during the cure period.
Where are you reading from, Counsel?
This is the second page of the division's final decision, which is at Appellant's Appendix, page 13.
Now, just a minute. Which paragraph? Which there are three below the addressees. Are they?
It's the last paragraph, Justice Rogensack, on page 2.
Thank you.
And I'm reading starting with the word, however, on, I believe it's the fifth line down.
I have it. Thank you.
What is the appendix page number?
Other findings within the
13th
decision where the division found that the Volvo elimination plan had been abandoned, even for the most part, even prior to the notice of breach, which was served in May 2003, and to the extent it wasn't, it was the rest of the elements were abandoned. Other than the incidents which Mr. Donnelly cites, where there were isolated incidents where the policy, which is in the record, that once the notice of breach was received, as in terms of the name had been changed to the business name, not the formal corporate name, which has always remained Wausau Truck Center, Inc. But the business name that was used in communication and marketing became, during the Volvo Elimination Plan period, Peterbilt of Wisconsin, to be consistent with JX Enterprises. Other dealerships were called either Peterbilt of Wisconsin or Peterbilt of Illinois. Once the notice of breach was received, JX Enterprise directed Wausau Truck, and Wausau Truck adopted the policy that we'll use the name Peterbilt of Wisconsin when we're communicating with Peterbilt and Peterbilt customers, and we will use the term Wausau Truck Center as we did before in communicating with Volvo and Volvo customers.
Counselor, how do you decide if a customer is a Peterbilt customer or a Volvo customer?
It's very difficult. There are certain fleets, and most of these customers are fleets in the sense that they own several trucks, and many fleets have both have more than one brand within the fleet. And so it's one of the problems with Volvo's position is this. They kind of said, well, these are Volvo customers, and therefore you can only direct your marketing efforts at them. But some of these fleets, like Road Ready, there's no evidence that Road Ready was an exclusively Volvo fleet. They did own some Volvo trucks, but they also owned other brands of trucks. And therefore, it really was not a breach of the Volvo dealer agreement for Wausau Truck, which was authorized and even under the Volvo agreement to sell Peterbilt trucks to approach Road Ready. I don't want to get real detailed into the facts here, for example, on this Road Ready incident, other than I looked at the call report that's referenced in the brief in support of the efforts in late 2004. And that call report, and maybe I will just go to that for example. Mr. Stevenson, who was the general manager of the dealership, and I'm at Appellant's Appendix 304, and it's the page of the appendix which is cited in support of Volvo's contention that even in 2004, Wausau Truck was making a concerted effort to sell Peterbilts to Road Ready. Well, the date in question, October 25, 2004, the only entry, and this is the only evidence on this in the whole record. There's no testimony cited, and I don't believe there is any testimony in the record on it. Met with Mike in shop. This is a Road Ready call report. Cool on idea of Peterbilt's. Concerned with weight issue on Volvo's and computer issue with shop PC and Volvo. So both Peterbilt and Volvo were being discussed. And the reason that Wausau Truck was discussing Volvo with Road Ready at that time is because they had sold five Volvos, or maybe even six Volvos, to Road Ready at the end of 2003 during the cure period. So the question that you asked, Justice Rogensack, is a good one, because Volvo did not have the exclusive right to the, many of these customers. They were free game for all that, and the evidence would show that after the beginning of 2003, when Mr. Jorgensen made the decision, he said, we're not going to be able to sell this dealership for what I think it's worth, and also our attempts to convert Volvo customers to Peterbilt, and they also were attempting to convert other customers to Peterbilt to see if they could support the dealership in a small market such as Wausau on its own. That's not working, and so we've got to keep Volvo, and Justice Gableman, your point I think is very correct. Once they made the decision to keep Volvo in order to help support the dealership, which they did not feel, and this is in the record, Mr. Jorgensen, the president of JX Enterprise, did not feel that the business in Wausau could be supported by Peterbilt alone after this attempt had been made. It would be inconsistent with that to all of a sudden to say we're still going to try to not sell any Volvos. Why keep the franchise and not make the best efforts to do it?
Is there anything in the record that either Mr. Jorgensen or someone working for on his behalf expressed an intent or expressed a thought that it would be to JXE's advantage to somehow do harm to the Volvo name or destroy its reputation or something so that any competitor may suffer as a consequence?
Certainly not after the decision to keep Volvo was made in early 2003, which was even before the notice of breach was served. After that, all the evidence shows that...
But I don't... You're not implying that before the...
No, we do not agree, and the division did not find that that was the purpose of the Volvo elimination plan. The division found that it was not as nefarious as Volvo attempted, that it was a business decision to, if the Volvo dealership was going to be sold, and Wausau Truck was very open with Volvo about this. We're going to sell it. We're going to devote our resources to Peterbilt. Volvo knew in 2001, as Volvo admits in its brief, that it knew about the most egregious parts of the Volvo elimination plan. They didn't know that this title, which the general manager had put in the email header about it, but they knew that every Volvo customer, that when they quoted Volvo, was going to get a Peterbilt quote as well. But they took no action until May 2003 for whatever reason. But no, we certainly don't concede that there was ever an effort to destroy Volvo. But my point is, again, once the decision was made to keep it, and that's undisputed that the decision was made to keep it.
Mr. Norman.
Yes.
What were the findings of the material breach? 1, 2, 3, 4. What did the division find were the material breaches here?
I believe the division found that the elements of the Volvo elimination plan, not necessarily everything.
But what are the elements? The material I want to know what the,
huh?
what the breaches were.
The elements of the one in the division as to which particular ones they found to be in breach, but the basic elements were to have every Volvo, every quote given to a Volvo customer of a Volvo would be accompanied by a Peterbilt quote.
All right. Did they stop doing that in the...
Yes.
Did they stop doing that in the QA period?
Yes. In early 2003, that policy was rescinded. The salespersons were instructed to quote only Volvo to Volvo, what were predominantly at least Volvo customers, unless the customer specifically requested a quote from another brand, which Volvo
conceded. Is that a finding of the division?
Pardon?
Is that a finding of the division?
Yes.
Okay. What's the next breach?
That all marketing efforts would be directed at Peterbilt and not Volvo. And again, the division found that after the decision was made to keep Volvo in early 2003, that Wausau Truck did begin marketing aggressively Volvo trucks, and there's evidence to support that in sales calls which were made with or without Volvo representatives along to major customers. Participation by Wausau Truck Center in a Volvo demonstrator program and other sales promotion programs, during the 2003.
What was another breach?
Pardon?
What was another breach?
I believe that's...
That's it. Yeah, what about the name? Is that a breach, changing the name?
Well, I don't think the division ever found
that. Did the division find that a breach?
I don't think the division found it to be a breach, and I don't believe it is a breach of the agreement. But the policy was changed, which, again, was consistent with using best efforts to sell Volvo to no longer use the term Peterbilt when communicating with Volvo customers. And that policy was basically adhered to. I think Mr. Donnelly referred to 14 incidents where they found it either on invoices or maybe a salesperson's footer on their email referred to Peterbilt of Wisconsin that went to that. But the divisions called these minor. They did not feel this was a material breach. And I don't think Volvo can say that CURE requires them to have more or get more than what's required by the contract.
Counsel, please, you were waiting.
I think Mr. Donnelly submitted Exhibit 389 with the idea that that's a smoking gun. What's your take on it?
I don't know what Mr. Donnelly's motivation was in submitting it. What with the respect to hiring a dedicated Volvo sales rep, first of all, it's in the record. Volvo concedes that is not a requirement of the dealer agreement. And many, many dualed Volvo dealers that are dual other brands do not have a dedicated sales representative. There is evidence that during the early part of 2003 that efforts were made by Volvo Trucks, once the decision made to keep it, to go out and hire one. There was at least two candidates interviewed, and the evidence shows that one was interviewed before the notice of breach, one was interviewed after the notice of breach. But as the pressure kept building, because if you look at the records, Wausau Truck responded to the May 2003 notice of breach, going through, here's what we're doing to stop the alleged misconduct in here. This is what we've done, and we kept getting letters back saying, no, that's not enough. We want more. We want more specifics and stuff. And it became clear by October of 2003 that Volvo was intent on terminating this relationship. And at that point, yes, Wausau Truck did stop, at least through the end of the year, looking for a sales rep because the economy, even at that time, in the truck industry was not good, and they did not want to hire somebody, commit to somebody. In both cases, the person would have had to relocate to Wausau to take the job, and then find that they no longer had Volvos to sell, and they didn't need another salesperson to sell Peterbilt. So that was a rational business decision that was made. After the notice of termination was served, and after they understood better the protections given by the statute, they decided that and understood the process was going to take a long time. They did make the decision then to we're going to be a Volvo dealer at least until and unless the decision goes against us. They did go ahead then and hire somebody in 2004, and have continued, to my knowledge.
Mr. Norman,
could I pose a question to you? Looking at this matter from Volvo's perspective, if all of their dealerships were like Wausau Truck Center, and they all renamed themselves in the name of another brand, how could Volvo survive?
Well,
isn't this a precedent that would just be chilling?
With what you're saying there, and that is why Wausau Truck Center, after they decided to keep the franchise, and particularly after they got the notice of breach, said, okay, it's not in our interest, or obviously in Volvo's interest, that we continue to call this Peterbilt of Wisconsin. when we're in the process of communicating and marketing Volvo products. So we will no longer do that. And they did. They followed that policy, and there were isolated incidents, but there was no evidence that anyone decided to buy a Peterbilt truck because Peterbilt of Wisconsin was on a footer of an email or on an invoice that they received from Wausau Truck.
What was the sign, the big sign on the business?
There was both a Peterbilt and a Volvo sign throughout the time. The Volvo sign was the first thing you saw after you exited I-39 and approached the dealership on Rib Mountain Road, where the dealership
was. That in
located.
The record?
Huh? Yes.
Mr.
So
Norman,
I wanted a good
question that Wausau Trucks sold Volvo trucks. Or, I'm sorry, Jessica Crooks.
I want to go back to the discussion of cure, because it seems to me at least that that's the heart of this case, one way or the other. And I want to ask you whether or not the Wisconsin franchise law is based on uniform law.
In terms of a uniform law in throughout the states, I cannot say that it is. I mean, there's a parallel between the Wisconsin Motor Vehicle Dealer Law and the Wisconsin Fair Dealership Law, which applies to other dealerships outside of the motor vehicle industry. Both require a notice and an explanation of what the breach is, and then an opportunity to cure the breach. And one of the problems in this case is that if the, and again, Volvo is not, at least my understanding, contending that Wausau Trucks was required to do more than to abandon the Volvo elimination plan and any other conduct that may have been causing it to be in a material breach. But to the extent that there's any argument that the term cure did require more than that, Wausau Truck, certainly the notice of breach did not indicate you need to do anything other than stop these practices which were listed in that, which Wausau Truck did and which the division found that Wausau Truck did.
Well, I guess where I'm going with this is how consistent is the approach taken by the division here in regard to cure in terms of the way other states would handle the cure approach? Because I'm sure this has come up across the country on numerous occasions. And even though the division didn't specifically define cure, the approach they took, was it consistent with what other states have done on cure of material breaches?
I'm not aware of any other state that actually defines the term cure in there, because I think most people feel that they understand what cure means in the breach of contract sense, which is to cease whatever conduct is causing the breach to occur. The closest I can say, Justice Crooks, is the Lippo versus Mobil Oil case, which was cited in our brief. The Seventh Circuit was addressing the issue of a mobile gas franchisee who engaged for a period of time in a practice of selling non-mobile gas under a mobile trademark. Mobil found out about it and gave notice of breach. I believe that the notice of breach was required by the agreement itself. It may have been required by the Petroleum Marketing Act, which is a federal law protecting gas retailers. The court found that the franchisee had cured the breach by stopping the sales of non-mobile gas under the mobile trademark during the cure period, and found that was sufficient, and therefore Mobil had no right to terminate the dealership. It parallels this case, as I say, I'm not sure if statute was involved in, but this case, as the division noted in paragraph 29 of its findings of fact, the dealer agreement between Volvo and Wausau Truck required that before Volvo could terminate the dealer for failure to perform, that it give Volvo or Wausau Truck notice and an opportunity to remedy any failures to perform. And whether it's under the contract itself or the dealer statute, I think that the only reasonable construction of cure is that you remedy the failures to perform by recommencing performance, that you stop doing whatever it was that caused you to be in breach. And this is what the division found in this case. There's certainly substantial evidence in the record to support that finding. The Court of Appeals, in fact, said there was overwhelming evidence to support that finding. I assume the court did not take it to re-examine whether there's substantial evidence to support the finding. And given the fact that the division's construction of the term cure, based on its conclusion of law, is no different what Volvo says, I see no option for this court, in all due respect, than to affirm the division's decision.
Counselor, I'm looking at page 22 of the appendix, appellate's appendix, and it's in regard to the division's decision. And of that decision, I think it's page 11 of the division's decision, and it's appellate's appendix, page 22. At the bottom, number 28 of the findings of fact, they talk about the initial notices of breach, and I think there are 11 things listed there and on the next page. Are those the 11 things that it's your position that the division found had been remedied because they were no longer ongoing?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Counsel, as a follow-up to that, on page appendix of the appellant, page 32, which is still part of the discussion of the department, the division, rather, of hearing and appeals, they list a lot of findings of fact, and now we're on this particular page, I'm part of the discussion. And towards the end of the page, it says that Volvo repeatedly contends that the actions undertaken by WTC to cure its failure to use its best efforts to promote Volvo products were inadequate or mere words on paper. It goes on to state...
I'm sorry, Justice Bradley, I haven't found where you're reading from, and I apologize. It's on
It's the last 32. Paragraph. Aren't you reading
okay.
The last paragraph
on page 32?
Okay, I'm with you now. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. What I'm really focusing on is maybe four lines from the bottom, the sentence that starts, however. Are you with me on that one? However, the inability of WTC?
Okay, yes, I am.
Okay. It says, however, the inability of WTC to return its level of Volvo sales to pre-Volvo elimination plan levels is more a function of Volvo's attempt to terminate WTC, Volvo's franchise, than to a lack of effort on the part of WTC. What accord, what deference, what anything should we give to this assessment of the division in its decision?
I believe this is a finding of fact.
That's in their discussion section, not a finding of fact. It's in their discussion section, which starts a couple pages earlier. It seems like, in part, I would analogize this to kind of a credibility determination, but I'm just not sure. In this paragraph, it indicates that Volvo is saying, hey, you know, you're just moving your mouth, WTC. These are just words on the paper. Or it goes on to say, you're just making these attempts to bolster its litigation position rather than a sincere effort to recommit. And then the opinion continues with what I read. And so it seems to me like the division is saying, WTC was sincere. It was more than mere words on a paper. And their inability to get back up to speed as much as they would like was from Volvo's franchise function of attempt to terminate the Volvo franchise. I'm not saying this is correct. I just want to know, you know, this is not very positive to Volvo, but I don't know what accord we give to this determination.
I think there is a credibility issue in there, and there's also in the record testimony by representatives of DeBoer and Abiland that said that even going back to 2003, before the notice of termination, rumors were in the market that JX Center or Wausau Truck was not going to continue as a Volvo dealer. And then after the notice of termination, part of those rumors were attributed to sales representatives from competing Volvo dealers who wanted to sell to customers in the market and so forth. So there was evidence even beyond the credibility of the witness of parties from customers that we were reluctant to, but both customers' recommendations, Abiland and DeBoer, also said we were quite pleased with the way that Wausau Truck was approaching us as a customer by the end of 2003. And we were prepared that once this threat of termination was removed, we would be willing to start doing business with it again. And the other thing on this particular issue, the lost sales, what the division doesn't specifically refer, but there's other evidence that why the sales dropped. There was a severe recession in the heavy truck industry during 2003. Starting in 2000, actually late 2001, the majority of the sales that Wausau Truck had made in the early 2000s were to DeBoer, which is a very large fleet, bought hundreds of Volvo trucks. But starting in 2001, because of the economic conditions, ceased to buy new trucks and instead relied on servicing the trucks that they already had, which, incidentally, they had them serviced at Wausau Truck.
Counsel, in the interest of time, and Chief, I note that it's a red light, if I can ask a follow-up question. Just, I want you to see if you can make it crystal clear to me. You cite the case out of Minnesota with its definition from the restatement second of contracts for the definition of cure. That is the Anacapa case. Is that the definition right you're relying on?
Yes. I believe that. And the LIPO, I believe, while it doesn't expressly define cure, it applies cure in that same sense.
Well, is that different than what the division relied on and what you cited to us?
No, I think what Anaconda, LIPO, the restatement contracts, and the division are all saying, which Volvo is saying, is you cure a breach by ceasing the conduct that caused the breach. And that's what the division found, and that finding is well supported by evidence in the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Norman. Mr. Donnelly?
Like to cover. Justice Gableman, you asked a question as to whether or not there's anything in the record that supports that Wausau was trying to hurt the Volvo dealership with this plan. If I may, from the briefs below, I'll read the testimony that absolutely supports that. I asked Mr. Stevenson, the general manager of the dealership, this question. Mr. Stevenson, is it not true that the Volvo elimination plan was actually designed or was designed to actually decrease the value of the Volvo dealership located in Wausau? Answer, from the perspective that I put into it, as looking at from my perspective as the general manager running an operation, part of my thought process was to lower the value during the period of time so that at the point it was transferred anew, the new dealer would have a less competitive advantage when they stepped into the market. Clearly, they were trying to hurt this Volvo dealership. Next question. Let me ask it this way. Part of your discussions regarding the Volvo elimination plan was that Wausau Truck Center's success upon separation from Volvo would be better if Wausau had less competition in town. Isn't that correct? Answer, yes. Question. Let's go straight to your deposition. Let me make sure I get you to the same place you are. I'm going to start at page 179, line 21. Are you with me? He answers, yes. All right. The question I asked there was, in trying to sell a dealership that has a dwindling truck population and a dwindling parts business is not helpful to a new owner trying to succeed with that franchise, is it? And your answer was? His answer was, I would say no. Question. And then if you'll turn over with me to the next page, I ask you the next question, because what you have done is actually damaged the value of the dealership by allowing the truck population to dwindle, correct? And your answer? He said yes. And that's exactly what JX Enterprise was doing, spending all of its effort to sell Peterbilt at the expense of Volvo trucks, correct, during this period of time? And your answer was, and he answered, during this period of time, yes.
Counselor, if I were to agree with your premise that what's going on or what went on here was Wausau Trucks trying to diminish the value of the Volvo franchise so that it would perhaps make their sale of Peterbilt trucks stronger in that area, that's fine. That certainly would be a breach of the dealership agreement, and it certainly was found as listed breaches in the DHA's report. What concerns us more, though, is what happened after notice was given and the cure attempts were made. And I guess I understand you have your charts, but the only example you give of continuing conduct is the roadway contact and the fact that every single item of communication did not eliminate the Peterbilt, Wisconsin label on it to some extent. So those are the two things that you say continue after there was an effort to cure. Is there any other thing that continued after the efforts to cure?
Those are the two elements of the Volvo elimination plan that continued after the cure period ended.
That's it.
But those are the two major elements of the Volvo elimination plan. That's the point, is that those are the elements of the plan that the division found to be inimical to the relationship between these two parties. And that's why I spent so much time on them. If those are indeed the elements of the Volvo elimination plan, and they continued past the cure period, there cannot be cure as a matter of law. Let me go to finding of fact 20 in the division's decision. It's at Appellant's Appendix 20, finding of fact 20. And this is critical to this entire determination and Volvo's position regarding cure. Finding of fact 20 is what the division found and what Mr. Norman was referring to a few moments ago regarding cure. When you read finding of fact 20, you don't find cure anywhere. Instead, the division states, as a result of Mr. Jorgensen's change of mind, WTC recommitted. No one has argued here today that cure means recommitment, but that's what the division found.
I think what opposing counsel is arguing is that it doesn't matter whether the parlance you use is the word recommitment. What matters is, did Wausau Truck stop the offending conduct that was noticed as a breach of their agreement with Volvo?
And that can certainly be the case, Your Honor, and even under that point, if the court agrees with Volvo that Contact and Road Ready, who Wausau admits in their brief, that was a Volvo customer. The panel asked a while ago whether or not Road Ready was a Volvo customer. How do you know? Wausau agrees in his brief that Road Ready was a Volvo customer. The testimony is also that they targeted Road Ready with the Volvo elimination plan. After the cure period ended, they go back out. Road Ready, the quote is, Road Ready at the time was cool on Peterbilts, and that Mr. Stevenson was out there conducting what he called a blitz. That's what's in those documents that Mr. Norman spoke about. So that's the Volvo moratorium going forward. And then I have cited at least 14 examples of the Volvo elimination plan continuing immediately after and further on after the cure period ended. If those were the elements of the Volvo elimination plan, I'll agree with you. No matter what parlance you put on it, there is not cure as a matter of law. And if this court does not give the parties here and others like us a clear definition of cure so that we know what this statute means, there's going to be many other cases like this, because when you look at the statute itself, you can tell there's some question as to what cure means. I would submit to you that the division found recommitment. They only required a recommitment. The common ordinary meaning of the word cure, which is what this court has instructed before that you look for when defining a word in a statute that's otherwise undefined, is not recommitment. It means things had to be restored to the way they were before the material breach occurred.
Did you count up the number of times the final decision used recommitment?
Your Honor, I can tell you this. They used recommitment in finding of fact 20 by finding that Wausau Truck Center recommitted.
Right.
They used it at Appellant's Appendix 58, Appellant's Appendix 59, and at Appellant's Appendix 62. They only used cure once or twice. And they generally used cure when they would say, Volvo says Wausau didn't cure because they failed to understand Wausau recommitted. Recommitment and cure are not the same thing. But one other thing I would like to say, Mr. Norman got up here and said, well, the policy changed. The policy changed. Saying something ain't so doesn't make it so. Do the actions equate to the policy? The undisputed evidence in this case shows that despite Wausau claiming the policy changed, the actions did not change. The things that I've stood up here and spoke about today are undisputed. Wausau's briefs even support that. Mr. Norman supports that. These issues are not disputed. They continued with the Volvo elimination plan elements that were inimical to this relationship after the cure period ended. Therefore, as a result, as a matter of law for this court, cure could not have occurred, and Volvo ought to have the right to continue with its cancellation of its dealership with Wausau Truck Center. And I see my time is up.
Well, thank you. Do you have a question, Justice? Thank you very much,
thank you all
Mr.
Donnelly
and Mr. Norman, for yet another interesting discussion of review of administrative decisions and the franchise law. And that concludes our hearing in 08 AP 1385, Volvo Trucks North America versus Wausau Truck Center, Inc. I'm going to have a safe journey home. Your authority under Wisconsin law as a lawyer ends at the moment. We are in recess, and why don't we meet back at 2? All right? And safe travels to both of you. I think it's... Ciao.